This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Mindful hearts. Now more than ever, we are in need of hope and inspiration because we are overwhelmed with so many emotions that we're experiencing, maybe for the first time. There may be fear, there may be sadness, there may be overwhelming feeling of loss and confusion. So we really need to focus on what the guidance is from Quran and the Sunnah. And there's no one better to talk about this than a very loving and special sister, mashallah, Ustada Yusra Kamel Kandil, who is a motivational speaker whose goal has been to bring focus back to the beautiful pearls and wisdom of Quran and Sunnah. Her videos have gone viral, mashallah, and captured the hearts and minds of thousands of Muslims and non-Muslims, young and old. What I love about her videos is that she's so genuine. You're so genuine, so humble. And because you speak from your heart, it penetrates the heart, mashallah. She's originally from Egypt, and she has worked on Islamic media with world-renowned preacher Amr Khalid. Mashallah, I didn't know that. That's amazing. And mashallah, she's studying towards the Uwaylim scholarship track with Sheikh Shadi Al-Masri. Mashallah. So it is such a pleasure and an honor to have you here with us today on the Mindful Heart, Mindful Ramadan.
Mashallah. Thank you so much for this very nice introduction. May Allah bless you and reward you. Jazakumullah khairan for having me. It's my honor and my pleasure.
Of course, of course. You know, I feel that the way you connect with people and the way you talk about the stories of the Quran, it's so important because many people may be a little bit overwhelmed with their emotions. And what would you say to individuals who are right now feeling, maybe they feel a little guilty about what they're feeling, maybe they feel a little bit confused? What are your thoughts on that?
So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I think it's very natural and very human for us to be feeling confused, right? Mm-hmm. We are human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these emotions. So we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, you know, these emotions naturally, both sadness and happiness. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَإِنَّا هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَ. He's the one who makes you laugh. And he's the one who makes you weep. So these emotions were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're laughing, if you're crying, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's totally understandable. It's totally, you know, normal and human. Actually, I would be more concerned if we were feeling, oh, whatever. That would be a sign that would alarm me, honestly. But the fact that we are stressed and worried, it means that we're kind of like wondering what's going on and why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset with us? Is he just testing us, right? So it's a sign of a living heart, a heart that is actually active and interactive and it's receptive to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us.
I love that. I love the fact that what you said about a heart that is alive, right? So yes, we shouldn't be hard on ourselves. We shouldn't be judging ourselves because there's that misconception like if you have iman, you shouldn't have fear. If you have iman, you shouldn't be sad. And so I love that you said that this is a sign of a living heart.
It's a living heart and it's okay. And, you know, we've all had like multiple Ramadans, alhamdulillah, many, many Ramadans. And maybe for some of us, it's very different from others. Like for us, we've, you know, I've been homeschooling my kids for the past 3 years. So Ramadan for us, we really, alhamdulillah, have the last 3 years have been like very, very beautiful. We're capable or able to do, you know, the entire night at the masjid because we can just flip our day around, you know.
Nice. That's the benefit of homeschooling. Yeah. You're in charge. You set the schedule.
Exactly.
Right. So
for us, I know it's very challenging and it's going to be very different. And there's been many tears. And I know there are many more tears yet to come when that first adhan of the Maghrib comes. And our homes are not filled with the people whom we love. Our hearts are going to be heavy and we're going to cry. And that's normal. It's okay to feel that way. It's understandable. It's not something like, oh my God, why are you crying? Absolutely not. We've shed many tears and we're still going to shed more and that's fine. But the most important thing is that we not dwell on it too much to the point where it makes us not productive.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's understanding that we can cry. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, these eyes shed tears, but the heart is content, right? And so let it out and allow yourself to feel those emotions. Don't judge. And what else were you going to share about that?
So Sayyidina Muhammad always would repeat, like, and this is the Prophet where we take our example from him. If Sayyidina Muhammad himself felt sadness, if he, you know, shed tears in certain situations, you know, when he went and visited his mother's grave, or when his son passed away, or whatever it is, you know, it's a normal human emotion. And he would say, well, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, wa a'udhu bika min al-'ajzi wal-kasal, to the end of the dua. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from grief and sadness. So, and he would repeat this so many times. So just to show you that grief and sadness is something that is valid, it's okay. But you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid you and to make, you know, help you overcome these emotions so you become productive, because Shaitan, you know, his whole goal is to put you down. He doesn't want you working, right? And I think, subhanAllah, this Ramadan is yani a means for us to really get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The focus, there is no running around, there is no hosting, there is no going to other
no distractions. Absolutely. We have our goals and no other distractions.
Exactly. So it could be a great, great Ramadan, inshallah, you know. So just repeating that dua and just accepting, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says what? وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Meaning what? So do not weaken and do not grieve, and you will be superior. And what's the keyword? If you are true believers. Meaning what? If you are true believers, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudra, in his, you know, ability, trusting him and accepting his decree, then it's, you know, don't worry, don't be upset, don't be sad, just have acceptance that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings is good.
Mashallah.
It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
From a psychological perspective, acceptance is such an important part of making progress. The idea of not getting fixated on the problem, because many times when something happens, maybe the sadness, maybe anger, whatever it is, people get fixated and then they can't move. So it's really taking those emotions and channeling it and accepting what's happening so that, okay, we understand it's not going to be the same Ramadan, but taking action towards it. So that acceptance is critical.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So knowing that, you know, accepting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed,
yes,
and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or finding the comfort and, you know, consoling yourself in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing, he's alim, he's all seeing, he knows what we're going through right now, he knows and feels our emotions, right? He knows what has befallen upon us, right? And just, you can let in this, you know, with this knowledge, you can let yourself rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, mm-hmm, right? And what he promises is always true, not like human promises, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, sometimes when we interact or deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we unfortunately, and this is not right, but sometimes, so many times we think of like, oh, well, you know, it's like I'm dealing with another person. We don't understand that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he promises his wa'd, his promise is haq. Mm-hmm. There is no, well, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'm tired, can we just postpone? There isn't that. If he promises, it's a done deal, right? We kind of, because of our shortcomings, we think it's like, you know, oh, it's like another dealing with another human being.
We can't conceptualize. We can't
exactly. Exactly.
So what I hear from you is that really we have to know the names and attributes of Allah. We have to know
so
that
important.
He is Al-Hakim, and that he is, you know, he's doing this and it's good for us. And when we realize that, then we can surrender. Right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names is like, we could do a whole other, you know, talk.
I'd love to delve into that. So
yeah, that's like,
tell us about what is it that with having that understanding that what Allah brings is good. Can you reflect on that and share with us some?
Yes, absolutely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fussilat about those who say, the people who say, our Lord is Allah, and then they stand firm. They bolt firm. You hold firm into the deen. You understand that this is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says what in the following ayah? نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. So there's a promise here. What? If you stand firm, you hold tight, you accept, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? We, the angels, were your allies in worldly life and are so in the hereafter, right? And you will be barren whatever your souls desire.
Wow.
Whatever you want, right? And you will therein whatever you request or want, anything you wish or want. You just have to be firm. Just accept and say, you know what? It's from Allah. It's all right. And with that assurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away something from you, that you desire or want, it's because he wants to give you what's better.
Right.
Always. And that in that deprivation from the something and that, you know, whatever it is, the something that usually is, you know, adorned and beautified with the glamour and the glitter of the dunya, like, oh, I have to have this car or I want to have this job. It's because, you know, we think of like the dunya scales or the what is
the worldly things, the worldly thing.
Exactly. The worldly definition of success. We
don't
really see what's behind it. We just see the glitter and the glamour and we're so attracted, right? And he subhanahu wa ta'ala is more knowledgeable of the good and the evil. We don't see what falls behind that.
Right.
And when he subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away from us a good that we know, it's always to give us a better good that we are not aware of, right? That
right.
we, with our limited abilities as servants or as, you know, ibad, just creations, we are not understanding to what this unknown is. We don't have the ability to surpass or encompass and comprehend that at that moment, right?
Something that you said about the deprivation.
So yes.
Actually, what comes out of it is appreciation.
Yes.
So when we have been taken so many things away,
yes.
so many things have been taken away from us, now suddenly there's this appreciation for dropping off kids at school. How many people complain about that every morning? Well, you didn't have to complain because you had home school.
Actually, I'm happy home, to be honest with you. Like,
I like being at home.
I miss my friends and my family, but I'm happy.
And so many people used to, you know, when Monday would come around, they would complain about having to go to work or the traffic or the lines and all of these things that we really took for granted. So the fact that he took it away has led to so much, subhanAllah, appreciation.
Exactly. SubhanAllah, it's just a simple thing. My husband was doing some grocery shopping and it took us like 2 hours to disinfect everything and then disinfect the floor. And then his clothes, like, you don't even think about these things, like just being able to bring your food, come and put in the fridge and you're good to go. SubhanAllah, like it's, you know, it's very different. It's very trying and very challenging. But again, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never burden you with more than what you can bear, right? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. He's never, ever going to give you anything more than what you can actually bear.
That's always comforting. I feel that that's something I always tell my clients. Maybe they've been abused. Maybe they have had certain things taken away. They've gone through a divorce or loss of children. And that reminder that, you know, Allah doesn't burden you with more than you can handle. It just, it comforts your heart because you feel like, okay, he believes in me. He knows that it's like a, and Allah is above all examples, but it's like a coach that really believes in your ability and pushes you to the limit.
Yes.
And then you feel like, okay, he believes in, so I can do it. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And subhanAllah, I don't know if we have time. I just wanted to share with you a very quick story about always trusting that whatever Allah brings, there is good. About a couple of, not a couple, quite a while ago, actually, I was expecting my second child or before even that. We applied to go to Hajj, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything was set. You know, we picked a company. I wrote the check out, I remember, and I threw it in the mailbox. And then literally, and then I opened my mailbox. So we were still in an apartment. So, you know, you have to open it with the key. You throw your mail somewhere else.
Right.
The other side. And I get this letter, subhanAllah, of like, you know, deportation. And I'm like, what? Oh my goodness. What do you mean deportation? This is like maybe 17 or no, 16 years ago, maybe. So anyway, I was like, what is going on? You know, and of course, you know, we reach out. We had changed our address. Alhamdulillah, I had like a, you know, something to prove that I notified them and they didn't update on their system. So anyway, subhanAllah, we had to cancel right away the Hajj plans.
How disappointing. And that must have been,
I was
devastating.
Heartbroken. I was like, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset with me?
You
know, is Allah not, you know, wanting to invite me to his house? It was very, very painful and it was not easy to accept. And subhanAllah, 3 years later, we are at a barbecue at my husband's sister's daughter, his niece,
right?
And we're sitting down casually, and we, you know, one of their family friends is sitting down, an older man, and he's like, you know, do you know, I went to do Hajj 3 years ago. I was like, oh, really, uncle? That's so exciting. How was it? He's like, it was miserable. The company was like a total scam, and they lost. We were lost for 3 days without luggage, without blah, blah. I was like, oh, really? I was like, you know, we were gonna go 3 years ago as well. What company was that? And lo and behold, the same company, we were going to be together.
Wow.
SubhanAllah.
I got goosebumps. That's unreal.
Wallahi, 3 years. 3 years, I would, you know, it would go and come back in my head. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not happy with me? You know, why were we, you know, turned away? 3 years later, you know, I got
the answer. Like, came.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
It's beautiful that you reflected on yourself and thought, you know, what is it? Well, you know, we always have to have that introspection and reflection.
Yeah.
But how amazing is it that when we surrender and trust Allah's plan, then we know things are happening and it's khair. So what a beautiful story. And how did it go once you did go to Hajj?
We went actually not this last year, not this past Hajj, the before. SubhanAllah, it was amazing. It was so facilitated, everything, wallahi. Like they actually prepped us. They said, you know, for the worst thing, like they had, you know, prepared waiting at the airport from 6 to 10 hours.
Oh.
So have a book, have a yoga mat. You know, subhanAllah, when you go with the mindset that everything is going to go wrong and anything could possibly happen,
then you're prepared.
nothing happened. Everything went so smooth. Alhamdulillah, we were very blessed. May Allah, Ya Rabb, inshallah, open, you know, the doors very soon again and invite all of us. Ya Rabb, inshallah.
That's a beautiful reminder that we have to trust Allah's plan. And sometimes, you know, we may love something that's bad for us, and we may hate something that is good for us. And this may be the best thing, you know, subhanAllah, how we're uniting as a family. One of my friends was telling me yesterday that, you know, usually every Ramadan, each person of the family member would go to a different masjid. They would go to their favorite masjid for Taraweeh. So they were all dispersed. So now it's like we have no choice. For better or for worse. But inshallah, it is khair that we're not going to be divided. We can really focus on that. That is truly important, mashallah.
SubhanAllah. It's true. When you try to see the good, you know, it's not always easy. And I understand again, you know, we have our emotions and it's all right, but we really should try to see the good in it. We try to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And maybe it's bringing us back to the way it was at the time of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this didn't happen till way later, the Tarawih in the masjid, you know, except during the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. So this is the way Sayyidina Muhammad did it. You know, he prayed out of home. Yeah, he prayed, of course, in Jama'ah and people prayed with him.
Yes.
But this was their Tarawih. It wasn't official in the masjid till during the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, you know. So back again to just being home, praying with the family, praying, you know, maybe a couple of rak'ahs together with the family, maybe a couple on your own, trying to find that true connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making it really strong and thinking, how am I going to come out after this? Because a lot of people are waiting, like, you know, saying, oh, I can't wait to go back to my normal life. But I don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go back.
No, that's such a good point, because so many people are waiting, like they're holding their breath.
Yes.
That's why this is a mistake, even when you look at it from a psychological perspective, thinking that you just want to go back to the way things were. Sometimes change, as difficult as it is, because I'm in the profession of change, right? It's all about making changes. But being able to accept that things are going to be different, but it's going to be, inshallah, better. So I'd love for you to reflect on, why is it that we don't want to go back to the way things were? What do you think are your thoughts?
I just think, honest to God, like we've been in a grind. Like we just do things without even thinking.
Autopilot. On autopilot.
Exactly. As you said, we don't appreciate everything that we have. Even if we say alhamdulillah, like alhamdulillah, we're the type of people, alhamdulillah, but do we
really like this? Alhamdulillah.
Exactly.
It's not with the beaming smile.
Yes.
Right.
SubhanAllah, I think there's going to be a real true appreciation of everything. Like even the kids, subhanAllah, we were talking in the very beginning, you know, there were very limited types of food that we could get or couldn't get, right? There wasn't rice. We couldn't find rice. I'm like, okay, fine, we're not going to have. So I told them, whatever you have right now, just really cherish it, because I don't know when is the next time we're going to be able to find rice.
Right.
Something simple. This is something that is huge. I mean, no big deal. We don't have to have rice, but I'm just saying, the simple things that we just usually take, it's normal to have whatever we want. It's normal just to run to the store, get what we need. But we just need to really understand that it's not normal. This is a ni'mah. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Being able just to be outside and not having fear in your heart is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being able to go and just drink a cup of coffee with your friend and get that hug. That's an ni'mah that we
don't have. That hug. I miss the hug. This is what I miss, because it's like we're such social beings. And it's like amazing that, you know, so many times people, they missed out on that, right? So I think this idea, or missed out on going to the masjid, missed out on those events. So it is, I think it is an awakening. So instead of thinking that we're going to go back to normal, we're going to go to something much better, inshallah, an awakened and heightened senses, right? We're going to be much more in tune. And that's what mindfulness is all about. You know, when you're mindful and you're aware of your surrounding, you're aware of everything that is happening, and not heedless.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm thinking to telling the kids, imagine the first time we actually get to go back to the masjid. How's that going to feel?
It's going to be emotional. I think there's going to be lots of tears, lots of
We've
hugs.
passed a couple of times, like just go drive by, you know, wave and just, you know, we were really missing, you know, go alhamdulillah because of, again, of our homeschooling schedule. So we spend a good like 14 hours a week in the masjid. So
that was a big part. That must have been hard.
It was very difficult. Very difficult, subhanAllah. But again, I just want to, you know, point out something. Like, if we look at all of ourselves and our kids specifically, in the beginning of this quarantine, that first week, they were miserable. They could not understand, what do you mean we're not going to go outside? Like, we're not going to do this. We're not going to. I was like, no, the Quran class online, this online, everything's online now. Now, they've just adapted. Now it's their new norm.
Isn't that amazing?
We're capable of changing. Yeah. We are not solid rock. We can change. We can change our habits. We can, you know, we can pray on time. We can memorize Quran. We can do so. We are so capable. And subhanAllah, I think we just put ourselves down. We allow shaitan to put us down and think, no, no, I can't. No, guess what? You can. Look at us now. Like, really, we wake up in the morning. There's nobody whining about wanting to go out or crying about, oh, I can go to the masjid or.
We've accepted it.
There's
a resilience, right? That initially there's the shock, there's the confusion. Like you were saying, the emotions are overwhelming.
Yes.
But then you accept. And it's just the stages, right? It's like the stages that we go through. And then sometimes there's a little anger involved after the shock. And then it's like, you know, then we have to surrender, right? That's the whole objective, is that we need to surrender. Yeah. And tell us about making use of our time, because this is such a precious gift.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So subhanAllah, the first week when we stayed home, like I mean, we homeschool, but a lot of the activities are outside. So we're always coming back. And I realized, like, wait a minute, all of a sudden, like, I have time. Like, this is actually something that I've never, ever had in the past, like, 15 years, you know, ever since I had, like, it's not something that we really can just sit down. I can pick the Quran and actually sit and just reflect without feeling the rush. I have to be here and I have to be back. So I realized, like, wait a minute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really gifted us time. And Allah will ask us, what have we spent this time in? And, you know, we don't know when the next time or if we ever will get a chance like this again in our lives. Inshallah, this will be over soon. Everything passes. Everything that has a beginning has an end. But we don't know when is our next chance to get this time and when to benefit from it. If you want to start memorizing Quran, now is the time. If you want to start, you know, learning a language, Arabic, or, you know, teaching somebody something, whatever it is that you are not able to do to kind of like redefine your, you know, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to reconnect, this is like, you know, a gift on a plate of gold just given to you right there.
Right.
Do what you want to do, you know.
Yes.
That's how I'm looking at it, really.
I think that's a great way to look at it, where you see this as possibly the last Ramadan. We've always said that, but I think now more than ever, since we've seen so many losses of lives and thinking about, it's like right in our forefront, right? We see it and we experience it. So really seizing the opportunity and preparing ourselves, preparing our deeds and recognizing that, I think what you're saying about setting the goals and seeing the end, that's so critical that we have, this is going to come to an end, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So tell me about like any inspiration from the Quran that kind of exemplifies what we're going through right now and may comfort the hearts of those who are in, you know, in darkness or feeling overwhelmed. What do you have to say about that?
So, of course, I know I shared a story maybe a week or two ago about the story of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, right? And we all know Sayyidina Yunus, how he went, you know, to the people of Nineveh in Iraq, and then he was just frustrated by them, left and got on the boat. And then subhanAllah, huge, you know, storm rises up and they decide, okay, let's throw our goods off. No, it doesn't work out. One of us has to be thrown in. Let's throw lots. Sayyidina Yunus, no, he looks like a pious man. Let's keep him.
Oh.
The lots, it's Sayyidina Yunus. And subhanAllah, you know, Sayyidina Yunus has to be thrown in order for them to be saved. And this is the one thing at first I want to talk about, is that we are in isolation right now, but in our isolation, we're saving other lives. The people on the boat were saved by Yunus being
a
taken away.
Beautiful reflection.
Yeah. So that's the first thing. And then he, of course, right away, what we all know, the whale swallowed him. And then he's in darkness of not knowing, darkness of isolation, darkness of the sea, darkness of the dark, just being in the dark, and darkness of not knowing, right? Like we are right now in isolation in our homes, but of course, with no comparison, we have our TVs and our Wi-Fi's and our computer and our, you know, our family, friends and, you know, FaceTime, and everything, you know, but still, compared to what our normal lives look like, it's a huge shift, right? It's a huge change. And subhanAllah, he puts up his hands and his body, like, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu minal zalimin. You know, there's no God except you, Ya Allah. You know, I have been from the oppressors. This is from my shortcoming.
Wow.
And instantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right away, istajabna lahu. We kind of responded to him and saved him, right? And this is how we save the believers. And again, I keep repeating this. He didn't say, and this is how we save the prophets or the messengers, mm-hmm. or else it wouldn't relate to us. It wouldn't be
right.
relatable. But a believer,
we're included in this. We're going to be saved. And this is a bushra for us.
Yeah, yes, it's a glad tidings. Like, just believe. And this is how we save the believers.
How
we
beautiful.
People, alhamdulillah, believe in Allah. So, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu minal zalimin.
Beautiful. That is, it's such a beautiful reflection to realize that even in the darkness, when you make dua and you're sincere, then Allah can you deliver you from it. And you know, many times we find that people during Ramadan, they get all motivated and they make the changes and they have that connection with the Quran and we're in this euphoric state. And then after Eid, it kind of fizzes out. And I think it's so important to have that continuation. And part of the mission of like the mindful hearts is to keep the sisterhood, to keep the motivation that we're together and we keep striving so that it doesn't end, right? So this can be like a launching pad, right?
Absolutely.
What do you think about maintaining that with a group of sisters?
So I think, honest to God, I remember our teachers used to tell us, like, you know, when you come out of Ramadan, try to finish the 40 days with the same enthusiasm, with the same pace, because they tell you 40 days is when you can actually keep a habit,
right?
So they always used to tell us, like, make sure those first 10 days after Ramadan, you are up for fajr. Make sure that, you know, you're fasting the 6 white days after, of course, breaking for the first day of Eid.
Right.
Make sure you're reading your juz of Quran still, like, do not drop it. And I think it's so important if we maybe, I don't know, maybe just as an idea out there, I know like there are a lot of mashallah, like WhatsApp groups where they have like, you know, the Shaban groups where they're, you know, the month of Shaban, they're actually prepping and they're doing a certain amount of istighfar, a certain amount of salawat.
Right.
So maybe creating something like that, a platform where we could, you know, submit, okay, we've all read our Quran today, like check, you know, okay, we've all done our istighfar today. Something to keep that motivation going on, because subhanAllah, it's really, this is the month I feel like we kind of, you know, thrive out for the rest of the year. It's like that reboost and that recharge. And then we just kind of like blast off from that.
Yes.
So I think keeping that and keeping that pace, or maybe even setting certain, you know, months of the year where we're going to re-meet again. We're going to, you know, have this time where we're going to reconnect as sisters and we're going to, you know, pull one another up. You know, mashallah, a lot of people have tahajjud groups where they wake up, they call the circles of light, right? On WhatsApp.
Oh,
and they know, okay, are you up? Okay, if you're up, do this. If you pray to rak'ah, the poor, you know, and everybody's motivated, subhanAllah, because it's like, there's a whole bustle going around in the middle of the night when everybody else is sleeping.
How beautiful.
So, yeah.
But encourage one another. And
yes.
The platform, the Mindful Hearts, where sisters are united globally,
mashallah.
And everyone gets reminded. And we, because there is something, there's so, something so powerful about jamaat, like being
yes.
together. Because sometimes on your own, you lose motivation, but it's just reminding each other. So inshallah that we can, you know, keep this up. And it's such a pleasure and, you know, and an honor to have you today, mashallah. There's so much that we can benefit, and I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy these, inshallah. And may Allah reward you, reward your family.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having more lessons together.
Inshallah. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Again, we know that we have emotions, and it's just about channeling it the right way. It was a beautiful reminder that we should not feel bad about it. And there are certain steps that we can take to overcome it, right? So we need to reflect on emotional freedom, because many times we're shackled by emotions. I have so many clients who will tell me that they have no control. Let's say, for instance, when it comes that time of month, many of them say, you know, I just lose it. I, you know, I'm cruel. I am a tyrant at the home. Everyone knows that. There are some clients that their husbands actually travel and during that time, because they don't want to deal with that. And, you know, when we discuss it, it becomes very much like, well, I've just accepted it. This is how it is. And I'd like all of you to reflect on this, because it's so critical to feel empowered. When you feel like you're in shackles and your emotions are in the driver's seat, that can be a dangerous thing, because that's where people react. They become They become very violent. They do things that they normally don't do because they're allowing the emotions to rule them and their brains actually shut down. So what we need to do is realize that we have some control over our emotions. And let me give you an example. Let's say it is that time and you are hormonal. There's, you know, that struggle is real. I understand that some people get more emotional. Some people get very angry. But let's say you're invited to a VIP dinner, right? Are you going to pull yourself together for that? Let's say you have a very important job interview that you've been waiting for. Are you going to be able to pull yourself together and be able to address that and be your best? Of course you are. And you can tap into that because we know how to do it, but we just choose not to. So I encourage you to be in charge of your emotions and allow yourself to be in the driver's seat, and you choose. So we're okay with having the emotion, but we're going to choose the ones that really benefit us and help us to get to our goals. So we have our GPS set to Jannah, and we have to get there. And definitely our acts of worship are very important, and they are going to help us to get there. However, those acts of worship have to affect our heart. They have to change our behavior, our character, the way we talk, the way we deal with our spouse, the way we deal with our children, the way we talk about each other. If we do all these acts of worship and we are not changing, then that's a problem. And we have the plasticity of the brain. You know, before they used to think that the brain is static, but it's actually changing. And I talk about this extensively in the Mindful Hearts. I think it was the phase two about how we have plasticity and we're always able to change. And that gives people hope that if you create new synapses in the neurons of your brain, guess what? It's like a pathway. So some pathways is like a multi-lane highway, right, to misery. They have like a six-lane highway to misery, but then a dirt road to happiness, right? And we need to just create that neural pathway and make those synapses so we can be happier individuals and we can take control of our emotions. Jazakallah khairan. It's such a pleasure to have you here. May Allah continue to bless you, keep you in high spirits, and give you that ability, the strength, and the patience to be in the driver's seat of your emotions and be very compassionate to yourself and to others, inshallah.